First Timothy chapter 2 perhaps is a Father's Day text. The second verse, let's just ignore the first two words of that second verse and pick up with the third or even the fourth. For all that are in authority, I guess dads would fill that description there a little bit. I believe according to God's word that fathers, dads, are the head of the household. So I think that that fits for dad there, doesn't it? For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Isn't that a good Father's Day text? Isn't that good? I like it. I think that's fine. We could lead a quiet and peaceable life. In all godliness and honesty. What an exhortation. To us dads. There's quite a family resemblance. Dad passing down to his children. It's amazing how the family resemblance just carries through. My sons are the grandsons of my dad. Figure that one. I've got three brothers. Sister Webb was talking about them being short, but family members being tall. One of my three brothers is much shorter than the rest of us. So it happens. But Caleb is my youngest son, and he's way over on the other side of the world this afternoon. He's over there with people that I know, you could call them an acquaintance. Sally Sebo would be an acquaintance to me. The only really knowledge that I have of her is through the mission services that she has here. I've never met her, didn't know her before I came here and had first service. Some of you have known her for a number of years. Well, she went to school, I believe, with my youngest brother. And so what she sees in the Ziegler family filters through the eyes of somebody that knows my youngest brother. That's scary. Because she said of Caleb, I see Reuben in you. Now my brother, youngest brother, is loud and obnoxious. Reuben is more on the quiet side. I mean, Caleb is more on the quiet side. Yeah, not Reuben. Reuben is not quiet. If he were anywhere in the vicinity of the sound of my voice, you would have heard his voice. Very clearly, and me having stated that. You see, I don't quite see Caleb and Reuben being that much alike, simply because I see Reuben as loud and I see Caleb as quiet. I see Reuben as forward and I see Caleb as reserved. But you see, you find somebody else who filters their opinion through their eyes of what they know, then they can pick up things. People who know my side of the family think that Janae looks like the Zieglers. People that know my wife's side of the family thinks that Janae looks like the Leeches. I don't know who she looks like. I'm pleased. What was that? Why do y'all have to do that when I'm up here? I kind of like it if people say she looks like Dad, because people say that she's cute. So that's all right. For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's quite a text for us this morning. All of us dads, and even granddads. It's a powerful text for us this morning when we consider our role, not just as a father, but as a dad. I know a lot of fathers. They fathered this child and that child and another child and yet again another child, and they don't know how to be a dad to those children. Not to say that I'm the example of a dad, perfect dad, by any means. Parenthood, though, is a calling, not a vocation. We can look at our children as an investment that is ongoing. It's an eternal investment. It's not a return in the financial world, but it's a return in the eternal world. Not only fathers, but grandfathers. There's a lot of books that are written about being a father or a dad, and there's a good bit of books that tell us how to raise our children properly. There's a lot of things that have been said, and you can read and read and read if you want to, and fill your mind and consume a lot of time with all of this stuff that's around us that would tell us what we need to do, and some would benefit by a little bit of reading. A man that may be familiar to some of you by name, I don't know that any of us have ever met him before, but Randy Alcorn was asked to write something, to share some advice this Father's Day for dads, and so he wrote quite an article. It was a pretty powerful article, and something kind of jumped off of the page, or off the computer, actually, as I was reading it. That stood out to me out of the entirety of that article, and he said this. He said, human fatherhood is not merely an illustration of God's fatherhood, but it is the product of it. God is not a father, so to speak. He is the father from which human fatherhood is directly derived. Our fatherhood is the shadow. His is the substance which casts the shadow. As our marriages are to be signposts to the marriage of Christ to His church, our fatherhood is to point our children to their Father in heaven. We bear on our shoulders the reputation of our Father in heaven. Here's where it comes down to. Whether they want to know Him and walk with Him will largely depend on whether they see Him in us. So powerful. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Whether they want to know Him and walk with Him will largely depend on whether they see Him in us. The songwriter said, I want to be that man. What do we do? Didn't we just hear recently that we live in modern convenience age? We have so many conveniences. All of these things have been designed to shave off time, I believe is the way it was said. Isn't that what you said, Destiny? To shave off time so that we would theoretically have more time. And yet we find ourselves busier than ever before. is no substitute for time spent with our children. Now, Caleb's not here, and I don't want you to go talking to him about it. It's not something that I would really even like to talk about in front of him. But Jonathan and I had a bond early. Janae and I did too. But as my son, my firstborn son, he and I had a bond very early. He climbed the tree, literal climbing the limb tree, when he was 3 years old into the tree stand with me for the first time. Caleb never liked that. He didn't enjoy that sort of thing. I look at it and I say, I wonder what it was. What's the difference? Very early on, Caleb, as an infant, didn't have anything really to do with me. I wonder, so many times in his early years, I wondered if it was because I did not want that third child. You gasp, you say, what? I was satisfied with two. No, I wasn't looking at abortion or anything like that. That's not that far out in my thoughts. That had nothing to do with it. I was satisfied with two. My wife was expecting Janae. I talked to her every day. I sang to her. May have even read to her. Same thing with Jonathan. But with Caleb, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I'm being transparent this morning, and it hurts. But there's no substitute for time with our children. So when Caleb was born, by the time he was born, I was fully accepting. I had transitioned or transformed my opinion, and I was thrilled. I was excited. But when he was born, he didn't snuggle up to me like the other two did, and I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't like that. Was it because I did not spend the time with him before he was born? Undivided attention before he was born. We can allow time to slip by us. And in allowing time to slip by us, it leaves us full of regrets. Adjustments have to be made. Changes in our lifestyle must be made in order to accommodate the time or the interest of our children. Time with our kids, if we allow time to slip by, it leaves us with regrets, but sometimes we may lose sight of what that means or how it should really play out. I don't think I've told everybody. I don't think I used it as an example from the pulpit. Some of you have heard me tell this story from IHC a number of years back when Jonathan was just a youngster. Or, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know how old he was. But we were seated down in the chairs that are on the floor at IHC during a service, and Jonathan said that he had to go to the bathroom. And well, I didn't really want to take him to the bathroom. It's not something that we did, go to the bathroom during church. We sat during church, but IHC was a little different. It's busy. It's service after service. And my wife thought he probably really did have to go, and I still didn't want to take him. Well, my brother-in-law, Jeremy, was sitting beside me, and he leaned over and said, I'll take him out. Okay. Fine, I don't have to, you go ahead. Well, on the other side of him was an elder minister, somebody that I had never personally met, somebody who had never personally met me. As Jeremy took Jonathan out to the restroom, he leaned over to me and said, someday you'll regret that. well, it kind of struck me funny. Someday I'm going to regret that I didn't take my son to the bathroom at IHC. You got to be kidding me. His point was, as he pointed to his son sitting beside him, who was a married man at the time, said, someday he'll grow up and be like this and you'll wish you had. But the thought that has come to me over and over again as I think about that I should not allow an opportunity like that to define my relationship with my son. That I have to be so concerned about how much time I spent that I have to take him to the... I have to be the one to take him to the restroom at IHC. No, that's not the defining point to shape what I do in time spent with my children. Or your children. What is the defining element of your relationship with your children? What is the defining element that is established not by you to define, or not by you to be the commentary or the one giving the explanation, but what is the element that is defining your relationship with your children, viewed by people around you, or more importantly, viewed by your children? Sometimes in our modern convenience age, technological age, it's easy to spend time with our children doing things that really is not spending time with them. So many people use the television and movies as a babysitter. That's not time spent. One of the things that you and I can do as fathers, we should do as fathers, is to spend some time reading to our children. A child who doesn't learn to love to read will not learn to love to read God's Word. Not learning to love to read God's Word, they will be robbed of joy. They'll be robbed of a biblical perspective. They will be robbed of spiritual power. One of the things that Randy Alcorn said, and I bring it up from his writing because of his background, because who he is. He's not one of us, could I say. He's not of our separation from the world people. You understand what I mean by that? This is what he said. Turn off the television. Use TV with your children sparingly and wisely. The statistics show a generation growing up without the love of reading, and that will mean fewer children growing in the knowledge of God. If you don't intervene to teach your children to love Jesus, who will? Said, will watching Survivor, sitcoms, game shows, and American Idol prepare them to walk with God? Now, that's coming from someone that's not in our perspective. And as I read that, you know, the TV's not my concern. That's not my issue. But it's technology that can be and is or should be my concern when I'm talking about, especially when I'm talking about raising my children. There's so many things that I'd like to say this morning. We need to teach our children to be grateful, to be thankful, to be courteous. My wife and I have talked about some courteous people around. And you know, sometimes I don't want to bring up a particular name because it may be embarrassing to somebody, and it may offend somebody else that I didn't recognize their child. I don't mean to be that way. But I'm around Graham quite a bit. You know, he's a neighbor. He runs up and down the road here a lot. And he's about as country as you can find. He is. He just loves the country. I don't think Graham would like it in the city, would you, Graham? Absolutely not. He's not going to be comfortable in the city. Now, it might be somewhere down the road that God would call him to the city, just like he called me to the city to begin ministry, pastoring. And, you know, that was as foreign to me as, almost as foreign to me as it probably would be to Graham. But Graham is about as courteous of a young man as you'll ever find. When he feels like or senses that he's offended or hurt somebody, at least I've seen him just come back and apologize. He's even apologized to me for chewing my ear off talking, thinking that he's offending me. He said, "Now, if I'm bugging you, please tell me to stop. I don't mean to. I'm sorry. I don't want..." You know, it's please, thank you, it's yes, ma'am, no, sir, whatever it is. You know, we need to teach our children to be grateful and to be courteous. We need to teach our children to be generous. My dad worked hard for his kids. I remember moving to Evansville, taking a huge cut in pay to begin ministry. The church board asked me at Evansville, "Are you going to be able to live on this?" Knowing that I was coming from a business perspective or business position. And I kind of chuckled and said, "I don't have a clue, but I'm going to try." But the church that I moved to in Evansville, even taking that tremendous cut in pay, was more money than my dad ever made pastoring a church. Ever. Dad never made that much money pastoring a church. I didn't know there was that much money to be made in ministry. Might have started sooner. I should have started sooner, but not for that reason. You see, Dad, he had to work hard. But Dad just couldn't. He taught me. I learned it off of him, I'm sure, even without realizing it. It's hard to make money. You know, when the snow's coming, there's people going out to make money, shoveling snow for people. I was never taught to do that because when the snows came, we went out to shovel snow for people free gratis. Evansville, we didn't go out. The kids and I didn't go out to shovel snow to make money. We went out to shovel snow just to serve. It was my time to go and to be a friend to somebody, a stranger, to meet somebody strange, to, you know, driving down the road and there's a police car stuck in the snowbank and to have the opportunity to pull them out. That's fun. You don't need to charge them. Poor guy couldn't drive his... Anyway. Lost my cell phone one year in a snowbank. Fell out of my pocket. Because I was crawling underneath their car getting a chain or strap hooked up. You know, I'm not saying that you're wrong for charging somebody to do something. I'm just saying that involve our children in giving and serving and be generous. Let me finish with this one. And again, this comes from Randy Alcorn. Realize that it takes only money to leave your children an inheritance. Realize that it takes only money to leave your children an inheritance. But it takes spiritual discipline. quote unquote here, a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction, end of quote, to leave them a true heritage. Are we leaving a heritage or are we leaving an inheritance? It's nice to leave an inheritance, but it's better to leave a heritage. I think of my dad this morning. I think of my father-in-law this morning. My father-in-law says he's spending the inheritance while he's living. But what a heritage. What a heritage that they are still giving, providing. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Text verse for us dads. The rest of you can join in with it. Happy Father's Day. God's blessing on you as you lead the household. Let's stand together this morning.